really held our interest and we really enjoyed studying them. For me, that was history. Math was another kettle of fish altogether. One of the advantages of studying history for me is that I began to see common threads in various cultures that had a desire to see a goal reached. When you see various nations at various points of time seeking after the same goal, it makes you think, why do they have that same desire and goal? And I'll answer that, because God placed it in their hearts. One common goal that all cultures have is the desire to be wise and not foolish. A very common way that many cultures try to instill wisdom is through short, pithy sayings which teach us how to live wisely. The Bible has a whole book of them. We call it the Book of Proverbs. So each culture devises its own common sense sayings. One brief example, act your age, not your shoe size. It's one thing for a 9-year-old boy to act like a 9-year-old boy. That's normal, no problem. For a 19-year-old young man to act like a 9-year-old, that's a problem. For a 69-year-old man to act like a 9-year-old, that's a huge problem. We are born in sin and ignorance, yet God calls Christians to serve God by walking and living in wisdom. And so it's not only natural law that calls us to act wisely, scriptural law calls us to even higher standard to live according to wisdom. Since we do not come to knowledge of God and godly wisdom naturally, we need to be engaged in a lifelong learning calling in which we battle against sin and ignorance as we actively yield to God's sanctifying and illuminating work in us. For us to pursue wisdom, my message is really built around two questions. What is wisdom, and how do we pursue wisdom? First, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the art of skillful living in which we form correct plans to achieve the desired result. God's word defines what is skillful and what are the correct ways to pursue wisdom. If we don't make God and his word our foundation and center of our wisdom, we are not wise. We are not skillfully living, nor are we making the right plan to achieve the desired result. Our ultimate goal in skillful living is to live in union with God. And the only way for sinful human beings to live in union with God, who is perfectly holy and just, is to trust in Jesus Christ, in his righteous life, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection for our salvation. So we start from this foundational truth of our sin and God's holiness so that we may enjoy union with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We build our lives on wise and skillful living through receiving the light of God's revelation, coupled with obedience to what God has revealed. That's what wisdom is. Second question, how can we pursue wisdom? This week, some of us will be traveling to Diocesan Council, and as I make the trip, I was not born with a sense of direction. When I go to a shopping center, when I go to a hospital, I ask for directions. My GPS can't help me out there. But as I go on a long trip, especially one I'm not as familiar with, or one I've not gone there in a while, I have a set of directions, a GPS. The same is true in the pathway of wisdom. If we want to pursue wisdom, we need the directions on how to get there. It's not good enough just to have a general desire to pursue wisdom. How do you do that? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 gives us three ways to pursue wisdom. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:15, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." So one way that we can live according to godly wisdom means we must practice proper stewardship of our time and the opportunities that God has given us. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we must take into account properly reverencing God in his holiness and his attributes of being eternal, almighty, and all-knowing, and the fact that he is everywhere present all the time. God is always watching. God is always listening. And the fact that he is everywhere present means that we need to compute that into our minds and hearts. God's listening when I said that word. Was it encouraging or was it hurtful? The mic in heaven is always on. A steward is someone who has firmly planted in their mind and heart that he or she is a servant of the Lord, the true God, and the judge of all people. The servant of God is mindful of the gifts and opportunities that he or she has been given and makes wise use of them. One illustration of applying godly wisdom is for the church to take seriously the command of our Lord to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. The church must be actively engaged in its outreach, both individually and collectively. The evangelistic responsibility of the church is to call attention to the fact that there is salvation in no other name but Christ alone. We have this truth taught to us in the gospel reading, which tells us of God's servants inviting people to come to the wedding banquet. That rung some bells with me. Go out into the highways and byways. You did. In the words of the King James Version, the highways and the byways in our lingo, out into the back alleys and everywhere you can find people, invite them to come in. The Christian church, in obedience to the Lord Jesus, strives to tell people of the message that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church strives to spread this message wherever we can. Now I'm going to break off into a slice of Bishop Cummins' history. I'm going to focus on two periods of Bishop Cummins' church life and ministry in which we effectively connected with our members, but also we reached people in the community of West Baltimore to draw them into the life of the church. From the 1920s to the 1960s, our church was located at the corner of Mulberry and Denison Street in the city of Baltimore, and we had a club called the Boys Brigade. This outreach to young boys from elementary age to high school was really, at the time, a Christian version of the Boy Scouts. Boys Brigade had a drum and bugle corps, which practiced regularly and held competitions throughout the year. Boys Brigade also had athletic competitions in the sports of basketball, softball, football, track and field, and wrestling. The Boys Brigade began and flourished under the ministry of Pastor Milton Erickson. Our church saw the need to strengthen and nurture the children of our church and the surrounding community in the Christian faith, but used common interests in order to reach boys with the gospel. Another illustration of an effective outreach of our church was the singing group The Omegans, which was a youth singing group started from this church here at 2001 Frederick Road, which spanned high school and post-high young people. This ministry began and flourished under the ministry and leadership of Dan Cox and his wife, Pat. Both of these outreaches started within the church, but in due time, because of the excitement and enthusiasm of the young people involved participating in these groups, spread to other friends who were not part of the church at the time, but became part of the church. There is no time like the present to commit yourself to the Lord and bear witness to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It is foolish to put off till tomorrow what you, enabled by the Holy Spirit, can and should do today. All we have is the present. We don't have control of the past. We don't have control of the future. But God has given us the present. And right now counts forever. We must make the best use of our time because the days are evil. The Apostle Paul adds this phrase, because the days are evil, reminding us of the dangers of apathy. One day I will do that. And also the sins of spiritual indifference and slothfulness in our witness for the Lord. This brings me to a second way that we can pursue wisdom, which we need to understand and obey the will of the Lord. In Ephesians 5:17, we hear these words from the Apostle Paul. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When the Apostle Paul speaks of God's will in Ephesians 5:17, what he means is God's moral will as it's given in Holy Scripture. God's moral will is detailed in the Ten Commandments and in Christ's summary of the law found in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. Our Lord Jesus Christ summarized the Christian's relationship to God's law by saying the whole of the commandments is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's easy to understand, but it's comprehensive in its scope that reaches every nook and cranny of our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves each day that question, have I obeyed God or not? And I like the response that we do in morning prayer. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. That acknowledges we are not in union with God through our law keeping and our obedience. It's a result of the fact that God has had mercy on us through Christ and His atonement. Again, there is no time like the present to order our lives by God's law. What St. Paul meant by the phrase, understanding what the will of the Lord is that we ought to be willing to do what God wants and requires of us. We are to obey God's laws, including obeying God-ordained authorities out of reverence for Christ, which is what Ephesians 5:21 says. Our obedience to God's will flows from our faith in Christ. We love God and obey His commandments because He first loved us and gave His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. A third way to pursue wisdom is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit as we worship the one true and living God. The Apostle Paul gives us two commands in Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Throughout Scripture, wine is spoken of as a sign of joy. But too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing. Food is a good thing, but if we eat too much, that's a bad thing, and it's called gluttony. Wine is a good thing. Too much of it is a bad thing, and it's called the sin of drunkenness. In fact, building on this, we are not to put any substance in our bodies, whether legal or illegal, that cause us to lose control of the faculties of our mind and body. So the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18 what not to do and what to do. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The command to be filled with the Spirit should be understood as a command which is continuous. We need to keep on seeking to be filled with the Spirit to guide us to properly worship God. We are to give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to God the Father. The worship of the one true living God, by its very nature, is Trinitarian. We worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if I must and I will give a plug for our common prayer book tradition, what helps us to be anchored in this worship of the one God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. That's God-focused worship. The Psalms referred to here, and we speak about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Psalms refer to the Psalms of the Old Testament. Hymns and spiritual songs are a bit harder to pinpoint and nail down as far as the distinction between them. But if we think of good hymns and songs in the broad sweep of the church's history, good hymns and spiritual songs come from both ancient and modern times. The standards by which we discern good hymns and psalms are manifold. But certainly at the forefront of these tests of discernment is, does this particular hymn and song focus on an attribute of God, an aspect of God's work in creation, providence, and redemption? A good hymn or song presents the majesty of God, grace given to us in the person and saving work of Jesus. A good hymn or song focuses on God and his works, not on the state of the mind of the worshiper. And so we need to praise the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is the path of wise living. As we worship God, as we set before our eyes that we are serving him with wisdom, making the most of our opportunities, and as we follow God's moral will given us in Holy Scripture. May God strengthen us to walk in the paths of wisdom, godliness, and righteousness. To him all praise, honor, glory, and majesty be, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we confess that in ourselves we go astray from your ways. Forgive us of our waywardness and help us to live in the way of wisdom and the newness of resurrection life, which you have given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.